With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Riley Smith, and this is Bridge the Atlantic.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic's interviews, where we get to know the people behind and in front of the creative industries. We're your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber-Smith from Scotland, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists and musicians. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook as Electric Kiwi.
And I'm singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Marcin Avelli from Canada, a man who wears many hats, literally and figuratively. When I'm not releasing music under my own name, I'm producing and mixing records for other artists. Speaking of which, if you'd like to work together in any capacity, just hit me up on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter as Marcin Avelli, and hey, even if you just want to say hi, I'm here to say hi.
Yeah, saying hey is cool too. And we are on Patreon, and we've got lots of exciting stuff to share with you on there. You can support us from as little as a dollar per episode, and in exchange you get some patron-only exclusives. We just upgraded some things over there, so head on over and check it out.
Yeah, perks include early access to content, shout-outs for your band or brand, as well as your chance to co-host this show alongside Ross and I, which should be interesting. But most importantly, your support will allow us to keep bringing you weekly episodes and spreading knowledge throughout the land.
We've also got official BTS shirts available to purchase on our website. They look great on you.
Thank you, Ross.
Trust me, you look amazing.
Thank you.
And all proceeds, you're very welcome. All proceeds go into helping us keep the lights on here at Bridge the Atlantic. There's a link to them in our show notes, and if you use the coupon code BTARocks, you'll receive 15% off your purchase as our little way of saying thank you.
Yeah, we've bumped that up from 10 to 15. Look, yeah, that's how nice
we
are.
We don't love you.
Absolutely, and on top of that, I've just started undressing a little bit here because I realized my sweater was covering up a lovely Bridge the Atlantic shirt. So there you go, in all its glory. And lastly, I am wrapping up recording my second full-length solo album, and you can be a part of it by pre-ordering it at marcionovelli.com/pre-order. Who would have thought that link makes so much sense, doesn't it? So simple, Ross. We keep things simple and concise here.
That's what we do.
When you pre-order my new album, you get a ton of exclusives along with an immediate free download of my new acoustic EP, The Reimagining Volume 1, that came out earlier this year. I'm getting it for free as an added bonus, just as my little way of saying thank you, like we said before. Make sure you check out my music on Spotify or anywhere you like to download and or stream music. It's on there, and let it play all day, baby.
Oh God, I was waiting to see if you were going to say baby or not, and you did. Joining us this week out of Los Angeles is actor and musician Riley Smith. Riley's TV credits include recurring roles in 24, True Blood and Nashville, as well as a leading role in the CW series Frequency. These roles got him in front of the people, but his love for music introduced him to them in a way unlike any other role he has played.
Musically, Riley's past successes include supporting Jordan Sparks, a residency at the iconic Hotel Cafe in Los Angeles, and a European tour. He's also had major radio play and numerous film and TV placements. We're excited to learn more about how he balances the different aspects of his career, his brand new EP, and the advice he'd offer to his fellow creatives. So, welcome to the show, Riley.
Hello. How you guys doing?
I am
doing well.
I'm well. Are you well, Russ?
I am well.
How are you, Riley?
Thank you.
I just heard your intro, and I just want to say hi.
Hi.
Just hi.
Hey.
Just say hi.
Good. Hi. Oh, sorry. Yeah, hey. Actually, you can only say hi to me through Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. That's the rule.
See, you just apologized
I know,
already.
Right? I'm so Canadian. Speaking of also, which, of course, that means I'm coming in from Canada. Ross is in from Scotland, and Riley is from Los Angeles. We are bridging everything, Atlantic and Pacific.
That's
We're just bridging it all.
We've got a pretty good triangle going on, actually.
Now I see where the name came from. I get it. I totally
get it.
It
clicks in. Eh? It's so obvious, but most people are like, oh, they have that aha moment when I let them know. But let's get awkward. Riley, let's get awkward right off the bat, man. Tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know.
Everyone should know that I have a big heart. I really do care about people a lot. People should know that I collect Starbucks coffee mugs. It's like the weirdest thing about me. But every time I travel, I go and I pick up one. It started with like just a few, and then in Europe, and then the next thing you know, people are giving them to me as gifts, and then I was getting them everywhere. I even bought one at my local Starbucks just to have one that says LA. And I'm going to apologize. I have a little puppy and he keeps barking, so I'll try to tell him to keep
that. Is that the third thing that everyone should know about you?
They should know that I have a little dog who's an Australian Shepherd named Finn.
Well, there you go. You know
what?
Sometimes
adorable as well.
Sometimes Ross's dog. Who is more popular on Ross's Instagram account than Ross? Let's just point out.
Yeah, people follow me for my dog, not for me.
Yeah, it's true.
Hey, listen, every time I post a picture of Finn, it gets more likes than anything else.
I always say that about my kids, man. They run my Instagram account, man. Yeah. I mean, anything about my music, yeah, you know, it gets a little bit of attention, but like times that by three when it's a picture of my kids doing something cute. You know what I mean?
Children and dogs are going to run the world.
Absolutely,
man.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree. So, Riley, we're looking forward to hearing about your upcoming record. But first of all, I'd love to kind of touch on your acting career. As someone who's worked on some of the biggest shows in TV, you know, 24, Nashville, Frequency, has there been any particular moment that's been a real standout or turning point for you?
That's a great question. I think each one of them pretty much has been a turning point because each one leads me to the next thing that I do in one random way or another. You don't really see it at first. It's not evident right when it happens, but then you kind of stand back and look at everything as a whole that preceded where I'm at or came before where I was. And then you have this like aha moment where you're like, oh yeah, that got me here. And I always try to choose roles that are going to, as we say, push the needle, make, you know, a difference in the career and hopefully in one way or another move me to the next chapter of my life. And so, I could give you an example for every one of those shows that you mentioned and how that got me to the next thing. Just to take it back a few, Frequency kind of came about because I'd had a long-standing relationship with the CW and I'd done 90210 reoccurring role for them. I did Beauty and the Beast up in Toronto, actually.
Oh, nice.
A reoccurring role for them. And each time I did a reoccurring role for them, I was just more and more in their minds, I guess, and until this past year, they just offered me Frequency, which is really cool. But when I did Nashville was one of those things that really turned everything around as far as the music stuff. I've been playing music for 15 years, but once I did Nashville, then that was kind of like everything changed in the music world for me.
So it seems like you really know when to see an opportunity and when to go for it. You know, we've interviewed 150 plus people on the show, and a common theme seems to be following your gut feeling and seeing an opportunity when it's there and grabbing it. You know what I mean? Would you agree with that? Is that something that you really, do you listen
100%.
To a gut feeling? Do you have that sort of feeling there and you try to follow it?
It's funny you say that. I always tell people that your gut is your biggest source of truth. You know what I mean? If you just really listen to it, nine times out of 10, it's right. And a lot of times as an actor, and for any actors out there listening, I mean, we all want to think that we can carve out our career path, but really it's quite the opposite until you get to a certain level. A lot of times you just have to, you know, accept the roles that are coming your way and be fortunate that you're even getting those and then make the best of those and then hope that in one way or another, that's going to make a difference in your next move or your next opportunity. But I feel like, without getting too deep, any opportunity you get in life is an opportunity you didn't have. And if you make the best of it, something's always going to come out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, you really seized the opportunity of starring in Nashville because as well as shooting the show, you had the plan to collaborate with writers in the city to write your album. Is that sort of goal setting mindset something you would attribute your success to?
Yeah, I'm a very goal-oriented guy. I always have been ever since I was little. And even nowadays, you know, where we can make notes in our phone or put our things in a calendar in our phone. I'm still like the hard paper kind of guy. I mean, I have them everywhere on every platform, but every day I have these Post-it notes, and they are, if you could see my computer space, they're strung out everywhere. And
nice.
I've always been very driven with goals, because sometimes you can get overwhelmed by all the things that you want to accomplish. And a lot of times you're always thinking about the final destination of what those goals mean. And a lot of times it's not about that. I always say it's about the journey, not the destination, but that even breaks down to just your daily goals. You know, just try to accomplish each one and focus on each one as you accomplish them. If you get too scatterbrained, you're not putting 100% into each thing that you're attacking. So, for me, I've always been, very goal orientated, and I usually try to go into things with a clear goal. You know, I try to find what I want to get out of it.
That seems to echo. We had a guest that we had on recently, Stephen Christian from Anberlin, and he was talking about, you know, it's much like yourself, you know, he's into a lot of different things. And so is Ross and I. We have a lot of different ambitions. And the advice he offered, and it seems like you might echo this, it's, you know, you can do these different things, but when you're doing each thing, give it 100%. You know, even if that means you need to dedicate one day to songwriting, one day to, for us, you know, Bridge the Atlantic, one day to act, and whatever it is, obviously acting, it's going to be a project, but time frame. But, you know, would you echo that? Would you say that it's, you know, you could do a lot of different things, but when you're doing something, try not to be scatterbrained, try to put everything into that one particular thing you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's and songwriting is hard, because sometimes you can set up a songwriting date and say that's the day I'm going to write a song. Yeah. But if creatively it's not hitting you, you don't want to force it.
Right.
As you would know, you know, you just can't you can't force some art sometimes. And so sometimes it just hits you and you have to drop everything and go do it. And I guess as an artist, we are a little scatterbrained and we are a little ADD. So trust me, it happens to me all the time. But that's where making my Post-it notes and trying to be organized with my schedule and my goals comes into play. And then you always want to give yourself the wiggle room to be able to drop everything if a mood hits you or a song hits you. My hardest thing is here in my office that I'm in. I have my music and my business, and so I get really ADD I'll be in the middle of doing an email for you know, acting work or something like that, or reading a script, and then I look over and see my guitar, and the next thing you know, I'm 3 hours into a new song. So
well, that's better. Usually it's opposite for me. Usually I want to write a song, and I'm like, oh, I just quickly send this email, and then it's, oh shit, I didn't write a new song. I got a quick question for you though. Do you believe in setting aside time to write? Or do you feel like you should just allow the muse to come when it does come and just have, you know, an instrument or a pad of paper ready to go to capture that inspiration? Which side are you on there if you had to pick one?
I used to be the latter. I used to just play and write when it hit me, you know? And if it didn't hit me, I'd just play the old stuff I already had written or covers or whatever, you know? But what Nashville taught me was it's a real lunch pail mentality, as they call it. You know, they're called, I forget what they call it, lunchbox writers or something like that, because they come into, you know, they set up meetings for a write, and they come in with their lunch pail, they write, they take a lunch break, and then they finish the song, and then they go on to the next one. And, you know, when I was down there, I was doing sometimes two a day, three a day, and those guys are doing that every single day. I mean, they'll meet the first ones at 9, 10 a.m., and they're knocking out a song before noon. That, by the way, by the time it's all done, sounds like the deepest song somebody's ever written. And it was just two, three guys that got together and was like, play me a G. What do you want to write about? Okay, let's go. And they're poets. So the thing that I learned down there was that it is a business for people. And although you want to wait for the moment to hit you, you also, if you want to be a really good writer, you have to learn how to have discipline and tap into that. It's the same, actually, now that I'm saying it out loud, it's the first time I'm saying it. It's kind of the same with acting. You know, we can all want to feel an emotion and get there. You know, in an acting class, a lot of times they let you build into this emotion for the emotional peak of a scene. But when you're on set 70 hours a week, you don't have time to wait for you to get those emotions. You can't go put your headphones in and tell everyone on set to wait for you to get to this place that you want to get to. Like, you're expected to get there now, and you're expected to get there probably 10 to 15 takes. And so it's kind of the same when you get to a peak level of a profession, it has to be in you and it has to be ready at all times. I really feel that. But of course, having things naturally come and come out of you, and that's just that's icing on the cake. And I think like knowing what you want to set out to write about, for instance, if it's writing, knowing kind of like, if you're going to sit down and write, like, if you really give yourself a clear direction, it really starts to help, that direction form. I mean, if you sit down and just start playing and you have no idea what you're going for, a lot of times you're just going to get a big salad of stuff at first.
Right.
But if you sit down and say, listen, I want to write a song about a breakup, and, you know, I want it to be in a, you know, a swing type vibe, and I want to use some minor chords. That's really now defining kind of where you're starting. And as soon as you start with that, you're already more defined than just saying, I want to write a song.
Right. Which I think is similar to what happens subconsciously when you go to write a song in that feeling and that, in that muse, you know, in that emotions, because I think you're subconsciously putting that together. You're feeling something, you need to express that. Whereas you're consciously, in your case right there, you're consciously putting that together. You're saying, I want to write about this, this, and this. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, the songs that quote unquote flow out of us. I think that's just because subconsciously that's all coming together. I want to write about this, or I need to write about this. This is happening. And it all, you know, you're just kind of learning to, it seems like you're kind of, you've learned to just create that space, you know, make that happen, you know, so that you can write maybe a bit more than you would otherwise.
I agree.
And speaking of writing, can you tell us a little bit about the new album and what we can expect from it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, it was all written in Nashville, while I was down there shooting the show. And I always like to say that it was inspired by Nashville, written in Nashville, recorded there. I wanted it to really represent my time there, my experience with the city, how the city influenced me. Because I went there with a very different idea of what that city was when I first set out on that journey. And then I came back with such an appreciation, respect, and really looked at that, the town is a completely different place than I thought it was. And so that's one thing that the album really has, I think, that keeps it cohesive. And then another thing is there's a, as I've said in a lot of interviews, there's a sense of loneliness, and I call it loner music. The reason for that is I travel a lot for acting, and I'm always on the road, usually by myself. And of course you have your castmates, but everyone's story is different. People have families, people aren't as social. So, you know, there's 7 out of 10 nights, I would say, on an average, where you're just by yourself. And there's only so many bartenders you can go and talk to as you sit at a bar. And there's only, you know, so many songs you can sit and play by yourself in your apartment or wherever you are. But it's done, you know, being on the road for me has sacrificed a lot of personal goals, and things that I want in my life, family. It's ruined relationships. It really has. I mean, it's ruined every relationship I've had. So it's hard, you know, when you're on the road by yourself. So I tried to write what I knew. And, you know, coincidentally, it kind of coincided with my character on the show. So every time I was sitting down to write with these great writers, we were basically kind of writing for the show as well. We were going to pitch the songs to Nashville. And so the good news was, is that I wasn't ever too far off between writing for my character and writing for me. In a sense, was just a guy in a fish out of water in a new place, and he's alone, and he misses the person that he loves, or he's lost the person that he loves, or he's hoping that the person he loves will still be there when he gets home. It's all kind of the same. And you know, one thing that I think that transcends to anyone that listens to it is that we've all felt lonely at one point or another. It doesn't matter if you're an actor on the road, you know, doing a TV show, or a musician on the road, or a rodeo clown, or a bull rider that's always on the road. You know, there's you could be somebody that works a 9-to-5 in an office, and you could still be lonely. You know, and sometimes I find the more I'm surrounded by people, the lonelier I am.
Right.
So loneliness hits you at any time. It doesn't matter. I was just in New York for a week, and that town is so busy. You know, there's people everywhere, all the every turn you make. And I always find that I feel more lonely in New York than I do anywhere else, because there's something about being around so many people and not knowing anyone that almost makes it feel worse than if you're just isolated.
It's the whole social media dilemma too, where, you know, we're more connected yet more disconnected than ever. You know what I mean? Because it's so many people, but no one's actually communicating on a deep, intimate, meaningful level, you know. But, you know, to lighten things up a little bit. Are you ready for 20 questions?
I'm so lonely.
You ready for 20
let's
questions?
Do 20 questions.
Coffee or tea?
I'm drinking tea right now.
Me too.
But really, it's coffee. The answer is I just ran out of coffee, I went to tea. But the answer is coffee.
Meat or veggies?
Meat.
Twitter or Facebook?
Neither.
Indie or major?
Indie.
CD or vinyl?
Vinyl.
Nashville or Los Angeles?
Oh, God.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Tough questions here on Bruce.
LA's been my home for 18 years, so, it's home now, but I really do love Nashville.
Education or experience?
Experience.
Marvel or DC?
DC? I don't know. Marvel? I don't know.
Play the fifth. Studio or stage?
Oh man, you guys got good ones here.
Thank you. You get something
different from each. But I do love the studio. I really do. I sit and make music of all kinds all day long. I just love making music.
Talent or attitude?
Talent.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
I'm a Star Wars guy. I grew up on that.
Iowa or California?
Iowa.
True Blood or True Detective?
Oh,
it's like, who do you want to piss off?
I know, right? Which producers are making more shows right now?
Always think about that career path, eh?
right. See, golly, I can't. They were both great to me, and I had fun on both. True Blood, the people were amazing. True Detective, the work was just a lot, you know, deeper. I would say.
Batman or Superman?
Superman.
Drama or comedy?
Well, I do dramas, but I love comedies. And I'm trying to slowly get more and more into comedies. But I do the real comedy. Like I don't mean it that way. I do flat comedy, you know, meaning like real was the wrong word. I do real comedy. But I do more like situational flat comedy where it's not slapstick. My comedy is usually darker.
Right.
Yeah. So maybe dark comedy. Can we split the difference?
Dark comedy here in Bridgelander.
That's like a twist cone.
Sure.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Michael Jackson for sure.
Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Yeah. Celine Dion.
Whale or kale?
Whale, like as in the ocean?
That's right.
Yeah.
Whale.
Bette Midler or the Riddler?
The Riddler.
And your final question.
We were supposed to swap this, Ross, but we didn't. It's okay.
But we didn't. Ross or Marcio?
Oh man. It's like choosing babies right now. I'm gonna do. Can you guys do like a hybrid of the two of you? And I'll take that.
Oh, you can. You can certainly do that.
Only the best guests on the show are smart and clever enough to put us together and not choose between us, not separate. Only the ones we're subconscious. We don't remember why, but later on we're like, yeah, we really liked having Riley on the show. Don't remember why. It's probably because he didn't make us choose between one another. He didn't choose between us. So all I can say is that is the right answer, Riley.
That was my seat is hot. That was a hot 20 question. This brings up a good point that I like to tell other actors as well, that I had my first acting coach told me that sometimes, you know, when it comes down to you and another person for a role and you don't get it and people get really hard on themselves. And he was like, just remember this. If you like ice cream, right? And I said, yeah. And he goes, say we go to get an ice cream cone and I'm like, you can only have chocolate or vanilla and you got to pick one today. And this is kind of what you guys just did with me. What are you going to pick? And I was like, vanilla. And he's like, but you like chocolate, right? Yeah, I like chocolate. He goes, that's the way it goes when you go into an audition. It gets down to the final two. I mean, you're both there for a reason. They have to pick one. And sometimes it comes down to just today, I feel like vanilla, you know, and that always really, really helped me. It was a great piece of advice because
good way to keep you positive too, right? Because what's the point of getting down yourself? It's not going to help you out,
right?
Yeah, just because they didn't pick you doesn't mean they didn't like you. It's just
exactly. They had to make a choice, you know. It's like I like whales and I like kale. I had to make a choice.
Absolutely.
You did. I know. We made you make some tough choices there. I know.
Speaking of acting, man, you know, for anyone tuning into this right now who's looking to get involved in acting or is already an actor, you know, particularly on TV, where is the best place for them to start and or kind of kick up their career to, quote unquote, the next level? You know, is there any advice that you wish you could give yourself when you first started out that you never got that maybe others can learn from?
Yeah, well, I always say if you really care about acting and you want to do it, you need to start at the most local level. You know, a lot of people I see that move to LA, and you know, they're like, "I want to be an actor." Okay, cool. What have you done? You know, where you're from? Oh no, I haven't acted yet. Did you act in school? No. So where have you acted? Well, I'm gonna act now. I'm like, okay, right, but you got to start somewhere. You just don't start on television, you know?
Right, of course, right.
And a class is a great place to start, but there's, you know, if you can do it in school, do it in school. If you can do it in local regional theater, do it in local theater. I mean, you know, nowadays kids are doing it on Instagram and Twitter. They're making
what's your opinion on acting classes, getting some acting classes?
You have to be trained. You have to be studied. If you really want to do it, you know, if you want to make a living at it, you have to study, you have to go to class and, you have to grow. It's a never ending, thing, you know, that you're never going to conquer and you can always benefit from a class. So, yeah, I'm really big about being studied and taking it serious. You know, I've seen in the past 20 years, so many people come and go that just move out here that want to try to act because they were the prom king or the homecoming queen. And, and you might get a few jobs, but you're not going to have a career in it. You can't do it. You got to be good, but it's a whole different ballgame when you get on a set and you've got 8 pages of someone else's dialogue and you've got to hit marks and you got to find lights and then you've got to work with the other person across from you. And you know, it's just like, I always say that there should be an acting class where when you're like, you have your scene ready, you're ready to go. Okay, get up on stage. Now I want you to juggle while you do it on one foot. And I'm going to throw things at you as well. So you're going to do all of this at once. Cause that's really what it's like. It really is. And there's no way you can really, get ready for it, except you just have to already be, you have to already be studied and ready as an actor, because everything else that they're going to throw on you is going to be just another whole level of experience that you're going to have to gain as well. You can't be thinking about acting.
I know you're not much a social guy, but you know, if people do want to reach out to you and say hi, would Twitter be the best place for that?
Yeah. It's Riley Smith.
Perfect.
Just at Riley Smith on Twitter. Yeah. And then I think the Instagram is Riley Smith Official.
Perfect. Well, go hit him up on there. It's official, man.
Yeah, you know, it's the real deal. So we'll put all your links in the show notes so people can track you down. But as for us, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, iTunes, and YouTube. Don't forget to visit our website and pick up one of our shirts while you're there. We are also live on Facebook every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern or 5 p.m. UK time to answer your questions and to chat with some previous guests. So please do jump in and get involved. We'd love to see you guys over there.
Yeah, and as for me, I'm working on my second full-length solo album. You can pre-order it at marcianovelli.com/pledge. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, which are all my name, Marcianovelli. You can stream my new acoustic EP, The Reimagining Volume 1, along with all my releases over on Spotify, Google Music, whatever, wherever you like to go, wherever you like to listen to music. Check it out.
I'm
on all of those places.
All the things, all the time. And I'm working on websites for various artists at the moment, and you can check out my work at electrickiwi.co.uk. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi, and on Facebook, Electric Kiwi Design.
This episode was brought to you by 30 Roses, a virtual assistant and consultant to musicians and other creatives, as well as Music Entrepreneur HQ and Social Surge. All links are in the show notes. Please check them out because they do what, Ross?
Keep the show alive.
Wow, that's a good one.
And if you would like to sponsor the show, visit patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic. We recently updated the rewards, which now include sponsorship at the start of our interviews, as well as an opportunity for you to co-host an episode. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube and iTunes so you don't miss any episodes, and leave us a comment and let us know what you think of the show.
Riley, man, this has been fantastic. Thanks for coming on and sharing some insight and advice and all that fun stuff with us. And everyone that tunes into this crazy BTA land of ours.
Yeah, man. It's been a pleasure. And thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for joining us. And we'll hopefully see you again soon.
All right. Take care, y'all.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.